They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
In a few minutes, some sobering statistics about forced labor, even slavery. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. France today made public the archives of the government that collaborated with the Nazis during the Second World War. More than 200,000 documents from the Vichy regime are being declassified today, 75 years later, or 75 years late, according to whom you talk to. Philip Hampshire is a reporter with our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
It's releasing a whole set of police and legal archives from the period when France was under occupation during the Second World War. During that period, the French government helped the Nazi regime deport around 76,000 Jews from France across to camps in Germany and Poland.
Why are they doing this now?
The French have taken a viewpoint that they needed to allow a lot of time to go by, to allow some of the emotions to cool down, to allow some of the privacy concerns to subside. But of course, a lot of this Holocaust-era stuff has still been working through. It's only been 10 years since the International Commission on Holocaust-era Insurance Claims actually came out with its announcement as to what was to be paid out to some of the Holocaust survivors.
So what do you think? Is there talk that this new information might lead to new legal claims here as we get into 2016?
You'd like to think that most of the legal claims that could possibly be made would have been made by now. But of course, since this is the first time these documents are going to be coming to light, you can bet that many people will be poring through the records just to see what exactly is there. It is always possible that further legal cases could be brought. We'll just have to wait and see.
The BBC's Philip Hampshire in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Now to the holiday hangover, and we haven't even gotten to New Year's yet. Of all those gifts we bought online, many are being returned now. You know, he swore a medium would fit, but now we know it should have been an XL. For the post office, 600 million packages were delivered between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and if history is a guide here, about 10% will be returned. Sally Herships says more.
It's not just you and that special Christmas sweater. Satish Jindal is president of ShipMatrix, a research and consulting firm on transportation logistics. According to his calculations, 62 million packages will be returned in January. And he says the Postal Service will be helping with more than 50 million of them. That includes packages consumers send, as well as returns the USPS helps FedEx and UPS make. He says the USPS has an advantage.
By far, they are the largest because they go to every address every day.
Jindal says, just remember how many packages the USPS delivered before the holidays. Returns are a lot easier. Jarrett Streben is founder of EasyPost. It helps e-commerce companies get their packages shipped.
The other nice thing about returns is they're not date sensitive.
Streben says after the holidays, the Postal Service is also handling new deliveries from all those gift cards and holiday cash.
People have extra money after the holidays, and so they buy more stuff online.
Which the USPS knows. It's hired an additional 30,000 seasonal workers. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. We started with a World War II development in France, and there's also this today. South Korea and Japan have reached a landmark agreement today to resolve the issue of South Korean women forced to work in Japanese brothels during the Second World War. The leaders of both countries said today they see this as an opportunity for closer ties going forward. Forced labor, slavery, the numbers even as we go into 2016 are deeply disturbing. Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, from time to time compiles some numbers so we better understand our world. Thanks for doing this, Stefan.
Good morning, David. I'm wondering, with you, which country today has the largest number of unfree people? Is it Nigeria, A, B, Mexico, C, India, or D, Russia?
This is a tough question. I'm just going to hazard a guess. Would it be India?
You are exactly right. It is India. India has 14.3 million Indians who are victims of modern slavery. Mind you, the definition in the modern economy includes examples such as women who are tricked into migrating for ultimately non-existent jobs, who are then forced to work in brothels, household workers, same thing, promised work and then work without wages, or those famous child soldiers who are forced to fight for certain military groups.
Stefan, where are you getting this data?
I'm getting this from the Walk Free Foundation's Global Slavery Index, and I should tell you and the audience that it is a slightly larger number than what the ILO, the famous international organization, has. According to them, there are 21 million people worldwide who are victims of forced labor and slavery. The Walk Free Foundation puts them at 36 million people, but I think it is economically more inclusive and reasonable to have this broader definition.
Now, you offered some other countries. How do they rate according to these definitions?
Nigeria was in there, and it has about 800,000 people that are part of modern slavery. That's just 0.5% of Nigeria's people. Mexico, I mentioned as well. 0.2% of the Mexican population are considered modern slaves. Russia has the largest incidence of modern slavery of any European or more specifically Eurasian nation. 0.7% of Russia's population are considered modern slaves. Fortunately, much less in terms of domestic forced labor than in the truly dark times of the Soviet Union, but still a point of shame in the world today.
All right. Well, we'll put up a link to this data set at marketplace.org. And Stefan Richter tweets at The Globalist. Stefan, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And a European Union official is reportedly calling for action on something that quietly adds to the annoyance of air travel. You cannot take water through security, so if you want to hydrate on the flight, you have to pay airport prices for the bottled water. The EU's transport minister is quoted saying there are talks about this with European airports. Sure, you can bring empty bottles to scan at security and fill them once inside, but ever try to top up the bottle at a drinking fountain? And sure, there are the faucets in the public restrooms, but I don't know. Right? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.